It's time for us to hear back from Bhavani, Danny and Duncan, who each set themselves goals on the Psychologically Speaking podcast last year. Instead of talking about goals in theory, I want to let you hear what goal pursuit actually looks like in real life. Welcome back to Psychologically Speaking. This is a podcast all about human behaviour where research meets real life. I'm Leela, your psychologist, researcher and coach. And alongside this podcast, I work as a researcher for hire, partnering with writers, creators, coaches and organisations who want their work to be grounded in psychology, not just informed by it. So if you're curious about human behaviour and want ideas that you can translate into something meaningful, you're in the right place. What I love about these conversations is that they show how confidence wobbles, grows, dips and reshapes itself while you're in the middle of doing the thing. You'll hear some moments of momentum, avoidance, surprise, and moments where the original plan is changing. This is all psychology in action. And as you listen, I'm inviting you not to compare yourself to where anyone else is, but to notice where you recognise yourself. Let's get into it. When we first came together, we were working out what the goal was, what was sitting behind the goal, where you were up to with your own thinking. And then we worked on this premise that if we have three very small actions to achieve, it will do a couple of things. One, it helps some dopamine flow because you're starting to make progress and see progress. We have this thing called a commitment acceleration that happens when we're able to tick things off. So we give ourselves purposely some smaller things to do. But who would like to go first with a bit of an update on one of their actions?
You all go on, I'll go first then.
So you had three actions, and the first one, which was sharing one or three client projects each month. So you decided to start your actions in January, and we're on the 27th, is it today?
Yeah.
So you're only 27 days in. How's that going for you?
Well, I've shared three projects online.
Congratulations.
And one of those, so two of them have been on Instagram, one on LinkedIn, and the one that's been on LinkedIn has also gone into my portfolio.
Brilliant.
And I've also set up a draft blog post that goes with the portfolio one, which I haven't yet pressed publish on. But that wasn't one of my goals, so it's fine if I haven't pressed publish on it yet. So yeah, I've done that bit of but if I share some work online, that's really scary. It was really daunting, but I did it. And, nothing happened. Nothing negative happened. And actually sharing the one piece that I did for on LinkedIn and on my website then gave me the motivation to start sharing more.
I love that. And what happened to the reaction? Did you get a reaction to what you shared?
Yeah, it was all positive.
There was
no negative reaction to it. There was, just really positive. One interesting thing that came out of sharing my impact report that I did for a charity in London, somebody who I know lives in Milton Keynes, who I've known for quite a while and sort of done volunteer work at a local creative festival with them. I think as a result of me sharing my project on LinkedIn, where he got approached about potentially putting together a report document for a marketing consultant, he passed my details on because he'd seen on LinkedIn that that's something that I enjoyed working on and did regularly. So I was like, oh, that's a really nice little
perspective.
Yeah. And, the person that he recommended me to already found somebody else to work with. So the project would go ahead. But the fact that somebody I've known for a few years suddenly did that off the back of me sharing my work just shows that actually I should be doing it more often and reminding people of the kind of work I'm doing and enjoy doing and want to carry on doing.
And it's that reminder, isn't it, that I think sometimes we think that when we market ourselves or put ourselves out there, it needs to be about talking to our ideal customer. And yet it might not be your ideal customer who's passing on the message. It might be, you know, a really kind of convoluted process that it goes through. So that's really interesting, because it reminds you to keep talking about what it is that you do. Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm really pleased that that's happened for you.
Thank you.
Do you, where are you sitting in terms of your energy around sharing your work? Because before there was a bit of a block there. So are you feeling re-energized or?
I definitely feel re-energized. We had our conversation, I think it was back at the start of December now, wasn't it? So after we had our conversation and like the client project that I spoke to you about, I realized that I'd been holding on to it and I'd never spoken about it until you and I then had a conversation about it. And I'd even kept hold of all the emails, but I put them in like this hidden folder in my inbox so that I couldn't see them in that, you know, the folders in my inbox at all. So I went through and deleted it all.
That's great.
Therapeutic.
Yeah. Closing a chapter.
Yeah. And yeah, that was just before Christmas that I think I did that. I deleted the stuff that the client had sent me. I deleted the stuff I'd sent to the client as well. And anything that was related to that entire sort of project just was gone. I felt like that really helped.
Well, it's not sitting rent-free in your inbox anymore, is it? Not sitting rent-free in your head either. It doesn't need to. It's like you've like, no, you rejected it.
Yeah, I'm done with this part. It can go. And I definitely do feel re-energized about sharing stuff online.
I love that. I love that. So before we hear about where you're going with your other actions, I want to just dip to Danny, because you talked about sharing stuff on LinkedIn. And this wasn't a specific goal that Danny had set herself, but after the podcast recording, towards the end of it, I said, can I just check with you? I will be putting this video out onto LinkedIn. And you've told me that you really don't like seeing or hearing yourself. And so I said to you, I really want you to try and embrace that. And I released it over Christmas, where I thought there'd be fewer people online. So I thought that might be more comfortable. And then what happened next was you just really jumped on it. And I think I was a little bit surprised, because I didn't know whether you would be that comfortable, but how did that feel on your side?
It was just ripping a band-aid off, I'm not gonna lie. I did the post and then turned everything off and ignored it until people were WhatsApping me and saying, oh, I've just listened to your podcast and oh, you came across really well. And I was going, oh God. And then I had a chat, the guy who's going to do the camera work for me and my thing. And he gave me some really positive feedback. And he said, my mum listened to it as well. And she was very impressed. And I was like, God, I said, is it not really strange though that I'm having a conversation with someone and then all these people get to kind of perch on your shoulder and then watch your conversation? Like it just feels really strange to me. To which several people told me, no, I'm a weirdo and I need to stop overthinking it. So that shut me up.
I don't think you're weird for having that feeling. There's plenty of people who come onto my podcast in particular who've never been on a podcast before, and it isn't a normal thing. It's not something we do very often. It's only when you start doing it, you're like, oh, okay, I've done this a few times. That feels more normal, but it's not normal. And you sounded surprised that somebody said you came across well.
I think because I was so nervous, and I do this when I present a lot, it doesn't matter how prepared I am, I'm always super, super overthinking it. So when I've finished, it's like my brain saves me by completely deleting the last hour.
Wow.
So in my head, I'm going, I don't know what I said. I genuinely don't know. I could have sat on that call and picked my nose for an hour. I have no clue.
Glad you didn't.
I have no clue. Genuinely, it's like my whole brain just went, nope, put that in a box. That can go over there. Don't think about it again.
And then, Danny, did you listen to it back?
I did eventually, because people kept WhatsApping me and I wanted to know what I'd said. And it was okay. I listened. I hate listening to my voice on recordings, but it was okay. When you kind of get halfway through, you kind of turn off to that a little bit. Yeah. But the positive thing out of it was, I thought, I'm going to ride that.
Yeah.
And like, Bav, I started then posting on LinkedIn. Loads of things, you know, I said this to you in the past. I'll write things, I'll write articles, and then I won't share them because I'll have either shown it to someone and asked for feedback, and it doesn't matter if they say 99 positive things. If they say one thing, even if it's like, maybe put a comma there, and I go, oh, it's rubbish. It's all rubbish. So I thought, I'm just not going to ask people to spell check for me. I'm not going to ask people to help edit. I'm just going to write it and put it on and then close my eyes and just almost ignore it to an extent. And much like with Bav, I got really, really kind of positive feedback. So I'm going to try and keep doing that. It's very much that kind of, like you said, that kind of micro exposures to build a bigger exposure later.
Noticing what you did after that, because it was amazing to seeing you reshare it and comment. I was like, brilliant, you've really done that. And you even, you know, did so on Instagram as well, which I didn't expect you to really be on. And then after that, you just kept popping up in my feed with your own thoughts and opinions on stuff in your industry area. And I was like, wow, it's like it opened this floodgate to it just made it easier for you to do that. So I'm really pleased that you did it. I think it was probably the nudge that you needed.
Definitely, yeah. Once my toe was in the water, I just kind of waded. So,
and it does. I think it does get easier. And there's something about listening to yourself back as well. It normalizes it the more that you listen to yourself. So, I think we're probably given loads of messages when we're younger, which is don't be egotistical and who do you think you are. And that might prevent us from wanting to listen to ourselves. But one of the things that my podcast producer said to me was, be the first person to listen to your podcast as soon as it's published. Even if you've listened to it in the edit, go and listen to it. Go out for a walk, go in your car and listen to it. And I do that. And it's a bit like, if I don't validate it, how can other people, you know? So I think there's definitely something in there. I'm going to go to Duncan next. So Duncan, you had a similar thing, which was set yourself a deadline by the 20th of December to release a showreel. Now, I don't know if I've got this right, but I know you've shared something, a Stickman video. Was that the showreel or was that something else?
Stickman's a different thing. Stickman's Hold On, which was a music video that I was commissioned to make and I worked on for about 3 months. That was the project where I jumped into freelancing again, because it's such a lovely song and an idea that had come from Ben. So I've shared some of the sort of behind the scenes stuff and some little trailers of that on my own social media. I did post a showreel. I was waiting on Hold On to be out with the Matchstick Men to then update that showreel. So technically the showreel went out, but it's a showreel. It's not the events promo that I think I was talking about. That one's a bit more of a pivot at the moment because I think whilst talking about a specific service has its merits and you can kind of package things and stuff like that, I think I've got a bit more positioning to do in terms of just reintroducing myself as an animator to people. I mean, it's been about 3 years since I was working for other studios, so I've been doing a bit of reintroducing myself with that. I will say having that animation under my belt as well as a recent completed project that can be shared publicly is a big deal, because that means I can actually just give that as a more recent example of what I do. So that's been really good, and that's been extremely well received. As far as like projects on release and the comments and things on YouTube for that video, that's probably been one of my best received projects ever that I've directly produced. So that was very positive. The showreel's not quite what it probably should be. I need to go, even because it's still got some of my visual effects stuff on there, but that's because of this sort of thing of like, well, I can only share so much stuff. And it's also, I think there's a bunch of animations I did for a few goth bands back in the day where it's like, do I just go really dark with this showreel, or do I, you know, try and make it more commercial? And I kind of bounced between two different versions of a showreel with that. I think at some point I'm going to need to steer it back towards the kind of more commercial end of that soon, but I think I'm in a stage where I'm sort of reintroducing myself. I'll also say one of the other complicating factors is that I possibly was entering 226 with quite a lot of goals. And some of them are just like technical ones. And I have had quite a big setback on one of those. I was pursuing an animation style. I'll open with, this is one of the hardest things to do in animation or effects, which is to recreate real people in animation. And I can recreate people's faces quite well in a relatively photorealistic way, but the animation's kind of falling down. And so having tried to put this into a project recently, that got knocked back, and that's been quite a big setback, because I honestly thought this was going to be the new direction for a lot of animations. So that's got me rethinking trying to just put a bit more personal style into my 3D work. So the matchstick thing is quite cartoony and stuff like that, so you get away with that. But as soon as you've got humans, I guess you need to kind of style them out in a kind of way. I think that's where that animation's going, and it probably needs to go back to my kind of stop motion roots in terms of the look and a bit of kind of Tim Burton vibes, because I was massively influenced by Tim Burton and all those kinds of things back in the day. So I need to work on my personal style for 3D. I've got a personal style for 2D animations, but for 3D, and I'm heavily pushing my 3D because I can use motion capture and things like that. So my processes have come a lot faster in recent months for 3D animation, but I've had some setbacks in terms of the overall style. That obviously then ripples through to the events reel, because I was going to heavily lean on that style for it. I don't think it's working.
So I think it's really interesting. You've had some great success with work that you have released. And I'm in one of the online communities that you're in. And just the energy and the responses that people have given, people are just I think if you're not an animator, you're like, wow, that's amazing. The work just looks phenomenal. And one thing that I just want to reflect back to you is, obviously you have very high levels of perfectionism around your skill and what it is that you're attempting to do. And the only way that I can kind of compare this, and it might be right or wrong, is when business owners often talk about, this is my brand and I need to show what I'm about, that really does fit so well in your work in terms of building up that personal style of the 3D is how you showcase your brand and who you're about.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'd rather not be a perfectionist and so on. I think the tricky thing is, when you're knocking on the doors of some of these companies, you're literally up against some of the best people in the world. It's got to be good. There's no way around it. The standards are just that high.
But would it be fair to say that you are one of those people? You are one of those best people?
For some stuff in a very niche way, but it's not stuff that's obvious. I'm very good at introducing new technical approaches to production companies. So there was a form of interactive animation that I was doing a few years ago that I introduced to, I don't know if this is under NDA. Imagine a coffee company and they happen to have a mermaid on their logo. Could be anyone. But I introduced something to them, and that was cool. But there's some of it's like the kind of tech end, some of it's the creative end. It's trying to blend those two things together and kind of going to the cutting edge of what could be used in a creative way, rather than just going down a kind of tech rabbit hole, because there's a lot of stuff you could do that with, and that's not actually being just an early adopter isn't the thing. It's going, actually, this is genuinely going to make a difference to what we're making and telling the story.
When we start talking about our goals and we've set out those actions, achievement can give us a lot of confidence and momentum. What we're hearing from Bhavani is, yeah, smashed it, did everything that I said I would do about that first action. Danny went and did hers and then did something adjacent to it. And Dom, something different's happening with yours, which is, yeah, I think this goal was slightly ambitious in that respect, but it's actually made me sit and think about what my goal is and where I'm going to go. It's just as useful. Because I've got two other creatives on this chat, I thought it would just be useful to hear their reflections.
I can certainly relate to the sort of wanting everything to be perfect thing before you put something out into the world. I think that's one of the things that contributed to me not sharing much work. You know, the graphics weren't quite right, the mock-ups didn't look right, the caption wasn't quite right. And if I put something out there that I wasn't happy with and it wasn't perfect, what kind of clients were then going to work with me or not work with me? There's so much attached to that sort of need for everything to be perfect, isn't there?
I'm quite fortunate in that I think Bav and Duncan have that challenge of their standards need to be high to win that commercial work, whereas Snowden's with documentaries. So you tend to kind of, it tends to be a bit shoestring, like capturing the attention of the Netflix of this world, so they'll go and fund you to go and do something. But actually then you're confined in this box of how they, you know, if you look, watch a Netflix documentary, it has the exact same kind of layout.
TED Talks are highly stylized, aren't they?
Yeah.
Kind of container.
Yeah. So for me, I'm looking, it can be a bit more rough and ready. And then once you've pitched your idea and somebody might want to pick it up, then you can polish it. There's a bit more of a margin for error, I think, in my world. Whereas for Duncan and Bav, it must be really, really difficult to constantly being second guessing between what in your heart and your soul you want to create versus what commercially the market is going to accept at any one time.
Ambiguity is really interesting because, and Duncan, what I think I'm hearing you say is that your pivot is to get more clarity by reaching out to people and centering yourself so that you've got something solid or foundational to launch off of. Would that be accurate, do you think?
Yeah, I think just getting out there to explain, I'm an animator and what does that mean to you? And I think,
yeah,
I think boils down to being able to transform someone's ideas into something that they can watch and that feels real.
I love that. I love the way that you just described it so simply as well. It's like, oh, great, that's what you
yeah.
do.
Yeah, and it's but being able to tell stories that you might not be able to tell if you were to just, I mean, if you need to go and see Danny if you want a documentary. So
I want you to put a number from 1 to 10 of how confident you felt about your goals and back in December or November, whenever we recorded, and then contrast that with how are you feeling today? How confident? So 10's very confident, 0 is I'm not confident at all. Has there been a shift is what I'm interested in, and which way did that go? Okay, so Duncan, that's interesting because you've said it was a 6 when you were looking at launching and moving towards that event space, but now that you're in pivot, your confidence has increased by a point.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll still end up making what I set out to do with the events thing, but it's such a monumental task in the way it was originally envisaged, and there's so many components to make it. I mean, I did start making it, but it's, whereas now it feels like there's a lot of different ways I can now promote what I do and pivot to that, and that kind of simplified message feels more quantifiable, and it doesn't mean reinventing the wheel, and it doesn't mean creating quite so many new things, whereas, you know, there was like new environments every few seconds in this thing I had planned out. So yeah, this is more achievable, I think.
So psychologically, what's happened there is generally we will start a goal with many ideas and struggle to bring it down. You came to the first recording with quite a narrowed down sense and idea of what you wanted to do, and perhaps you've gone a little bit too narrow, so you've now brought it back out again. Interesting that you're sitting in the middle there somewhere. Bhavani, you've started at a 3. Really, was it a 3?
Yeah.
You come across that nervous about it, yeah.
Because I'd gone through phases of, oh, I'm going to show my work, and never did it.
So you were learned behaviour around saying you're going to do it.
Yeah.
You'd learned to trust that you would fail at it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think the difference is I've spoken to you about it publicly, so to speak, rather than just in my sort of diary or my journal or in my head going, oh, this is the year I'll share more work, and it doesn't happen. So the accountability has made me feel more confident about it. I've done it. That's added to the confidence. And yeah, so about 7 or 8 now.
So we have a downward trajectory, Danny. So you started with a 9, and I think that sits with the enthusiasm and the excitement and everything you were talking about. And also, if you remember, one of the things I characterized about your journey is that you had quite a lot of preparation type goals. And so psychologically, what we might expect there is that you're not going to benefit from the same momentum as Bavany and Duncan, because those things are harder to see materially. Your positioning on this is further out. You're not going on this trip for a few more months yet. So you've started with a 9 and you're saying I'm a 6 right now, being very compassionate. I think that's okay. But if we said, well, what would you need right now to move from a 6 to a 9? What injection would you have at the moment?
I'll be honest, it's time. So, you know, I don't want to make excuses, but one of the things that I think a lot of people with ADHD suffer from is this kind of time blindness in their personal life. I can plan everybody else. I can give them a schedule of events and I can hold everybody accountable. But on a personal level, I completely have time blindness. I have a publishing deal at the moment, and that book needs to be finished by the 1st of June. I'm doing that in parallel, and I'm working, and I've got my PhD. I have a tendency to bite off more than I can chew, not gonna lie about that. I think it's just the realization of how much I'm trying to wedge into a finite amount of time. It'll get done. I know it will get done. You know, like, I think I'll be hitting Babs 3 before I start to see her. It's fine. I think I need to see the, like you say, I need to see the progress, and then that'll feel
better. Yeah, I think ideally we would want to see you try and maintain at the 6 and improve at this point. I think that's where I would like to give you comfort that I know that you can do this. And if we go back to that conversation we had in your podcast recording, knowing that a lot of the actions that you'd put in were things that were trying to mitigate potential risks, and actually maybe you are more prepared than you think you are. Rachel Botsman has written extensively about trust, and she talks about how we trust ourselves and how we have to have a confident relationship with the unknown. Yeah. And when I think of her work, I think of you, and I think how actually you don't want to have a confident relationship with the unknown. You want to have a confident relationship with the certain, because certainty is less scary. All of these actions that you set yourself, a lot of them were about being prepared. Will I be fit enough? Will I do this? And it's just maybe trusting or giving yourself permission to say, the fitness level I'm at the moment will probably get me through. I mean, whether that's true or not, you need to kind of really think about that and go, how much effort do I have to put in with the limited time I've got? And then the other stuff about the documentary, it will be as good as it is. And, you know, perhaps part of this journey is that it is a growth journey, and that you don't have to be perfect at the start. So whereas mostly with people I would encourage them to avoid risky situations, I think when you are scanning for risk, and we know that people with ADHD probably scan for risk at a higher level than the general population, perhaps that's about dialing that back down again and just starting to trust yourself.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked about this, haven't we, that I have I happily have jumped out of planes. I, from a risk perspective, nothing kind of stops me, but on a personal, kind of emotional risk basis, which this kind of links to, 100% risk averse.
So coming back very tangibly to the time, because we're now in 2026, because you can see the stuff that's going, and if you sat and you looked at your planner, have you drawn out a plan between now and your documentary? Have you got a sense of how much time you actually have?
Yeah, I think it's because I have the other obligations. I don't have a sense of how much time they're gonna eat into what I've assigned for this. So I think I just need to get a better handle on my other goals, my other kind of deliverables, to make sure that I kind of protect this time.
Yeah. And then there's also that idea of, when we think about planning, we often do it in that kind of like waterfall type way, which is we plan out our lead-in time, and then what happens is you lose time, and therefore it all gets bunched up towards the end. So perhaps it looks like having a very short sprint on something and just putting maximum energy and time into something over one day, and going, that actually counts as 4 weeks worth of effort for a normal person. So, and that might be something that sits better with you and with your energy and with your motivational profile as well. Doing a bit each week might feel like a slog. What's stopping you just having a whole day at it? And I see Duncan nodding here, but I think we talked, didn't we, Duncan, about you know, when you're in that creative flow and space and locking into work and staying locked in. So you're essentially juggling things, but that might not be a preferential way to go with it. So how do you create those blocks of time? That might be something to consider as well.
Yeah.
Perhaps the main thing is like not seeing it as a failure that you're not feeling confident, and just seeing it as a sign that it's like, okay, so that's the thing that's really bothering me, but that's okay. I can work with that.
Yeah. 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 I mean, and it all links back to, I think, the same things that I'm hearing from Bav and Duncan is that, you know, that kind of, well, not so much maybe you, Duncan, but Bav, I'm building up to the thing where I'm going to have to shift, I'm going to have to release something bigger. And so I guess that probably something in the back of my mind is already trying to self-sabotage me in terms of confidence.
That's really astute. There's this thing that's sitting with me, which is your goal very much feels like it has a start date when you get on is it a plane you're going on to get out to the Arctic or a boat?
A plane and then the boat.
So it feels, and I'm just thinking about ADHD and how that might be impacting this like kind of long protracted wait to start your goal. How might you take some of that future thing and put it here in the UK now?
I think that was the first goal, wasn't it? The technical kind of run and gun confidence. And I did actually have two sessions booked in for last week. We're going to reschedule that. But I think that is the bit that makes it a bit more real once I'm doing that training and getting confident in the new ways of approaching things. I did have a chat with a couple of the team in the stores, the kit stores, about sound gear. And everyone was kind of going, ooh, on a boat. Ooh, okay. Ooh. And then they're all talking amongst themselves. And I'm thinking, you're the experts. If you don't know what you need to do, I've got no clue.
I think that will be the key for you. The key will be just doing something that feels like the documentary before you step on that plane or boat. I think this is going to be so useful for people to hear. People will relate to this. Benny, I'm going to ask you about one of your other actions, which was you wanted to make sharing easy and fun. So what are your thoughts on that? How are you going to move that forward?
I'm not sure how I'm going to make it fun, but now I'm going to make it easy. So I'm making it easy by doing it all at the same time in batches rather than, you know, creating one mock-up 5 minutes before I want to share it.
Mm.
I'm taking an hour or two once a week just to put together the graphics that I need to use to share online. And that's definitely making it easier.
Wonderful.
There's no sort of last minute scramble. Oh my God, I haven't updated my portfolio this week. What am I going to do?
And you're stacking in the tasks there with the action, which is really good because you get that extra boost from the accomplishment and the motivation moving it forwards. That's really awesome. And then your second one was really that visibility and confidence practice, more of an approach thing for you.
Yeah. Well, I can talk about the stuff that's going on right now. So I'm going to be hosting a monthly co-working day in Mills and Keynes locally for, well, I guess, employed and self-employed people, whoever wants to sort of come along and co-work with others for the day. It's not something that I'm branching out and doing on my own, but a couple of other friends in the freelance world, Penny and Joe, about 18 months ago, they started a co-work group. And it started in Northampton. They did, you know, they hosted a co-working day, and it's slowly started spreading across the UK. So they've got events in like Reading and Cambridge, and I think Leeds and London as well, and Milton Keynes soon.
And if they're listening, we really need one in Derby or Nottingham.
I'm pretty sure we can think of a few people to host that, Penny and Joe, if you're listening. But yeah, so that is definitely going to help with that sort of visibility goal and meeting new people and talking about what I do and the kind of work I create. And I know when Leela and I spoke originally, yes, sharing work online was one aspect, and then starting to share things actually in the real world was another. So I'm hoping this will be a good way to start doing that.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that for you. This is the beauty of warming up your goal and sitting and thinking about it, is then, like Duncan's finding, you don't have to stick with your original intention.
Mm.
You can broaden it out, or you can do something different with it. like with Danny, if it's not quite feeling that you're there, then you can have a good look at why that is and what the motivation is. But it also gives you time to then think, well, what other opportunities are there now that I've had time to sit within? You've got that trust as well, because you can trust yourself to do the first thing that you've done. So on that momentum, I think it's amazing that you've done that. It's awesome.
And it feels really nice, because I've got a co-host, a friend of mine is going to be doing it with me. And so it feels like a really safe way to start getting visible, more visible.
I love it. And hopefully we'll catch up with you in a couple of months and find out how that's going. So Duncan, I'm going to come back to your third action then, the one that was identify and engage two or three ideal companies. And I think one of the questions I had was, who are your ideal companies? And you said, I'm not quite sure, other than you were thinking events. Where are you at with that at the moment? What kind of thoughts are you having in conversations?
I think as I'm kind of stepping back to a kind of more base level, more broader offering or more character-based offering, I think for the time being, I've got to reestablish myself with some of the companies I was working with. So reaching out to some of those people has been happening. I have worked with a few of my old clients already. So some of that's kind of happening. I need to do a lot more structured outreach. So I have been doing probably more scattergun outreach. But I need to sit down and do the big spreadsheet at some point and just get on with that. The only thing that's been preventing that is just been I have been intensively working on animation projects for clients for like the last couple of months. So there's only so much time on that. And also, like, this is what I mean about other goals, is like I run a charity as well. Just casually, I'm a charity co-founder, and we're having to do a big pivot on what's happening to charity at the moment, just to again realign some other goals there. So I just need to sit down and do that big list. I think it's going to happen this week. Thursday is going to be the day where I just put together a big spreadsheet. It's going to be focused on probably production companies, specifically animation-based companies. I have already been doing outreach to a few particular people. I'm not always hearing back. I did also put in an application to work as an animator on a Disney / ILM production, which is like, if I get that, that'd be amazing. So we'll see, like a year, 2 year contract if you get it. But again, this is like top of the tree type stuff. So we'll see. I haven't seen any response to that application yet. But again, those are the kinds of doors just going to keep knocking on until they're like, come in.
I'm just going to remind all three of you, you know, it's the 27th of January. We're literally about 3 or 4 weeks into your goals. And you each have, you know, these goals aren't sitting on their own. They're not the only thing that you're pursuing. And I think I said, in one of my recent podcast episodes, I've talked about sustainability. If the only thing that you have to worry about is your goal, that's a luxury. Yeah. The fact that you are talking about, well, actually, I've got other stuff going on that's taking priority, Daniel, this is just normal. That, you know, that's not you not being good at your goal. That's you just working through the complexity of juggling things and life, you know. So I talked about 7 derailments, and one of those things is lives. And we can't predict what's going to happen. And it's about how you're then managing that. So that's the momentum you keep with yourself. So, Duncan, it's great that you go, I've got some other stuff going on, but perhaps I can do this list this week. And I think in the previous podcast episode we'd had with you, you know, I was really taken by this idea. A younger you really relied on that black book of contacts and stuff, which I thought was quite interesting. So it is about looking back and seeing what's helped us before, but then also developing new habits as well. I think what I would really like to do is get your permission to check back in with you maybe in 2 or 3 months time, a much longer period of time. By all means, do drop me notes and I'll try and build them into episodes and update people on how you're getting on. I really wanted to show people what it was like when you set a goal and then when you set yourself some intentions, which you did. When life happens and you start those intentions, what are some of the unsurprising and unexpected benefits of that happening? So, Danny, I think it was people just giving you that overwhelming positive feedback and maybe even surprising yourself on how easy it was to engage with it and then follow up with that. Bhavani, somebody sharing your work and moving forward with it. And Duncan, it just sounds like actually since you've made this decision to embrace fully your own thing, that position of who you are and what you're going to do is just becoming firmer and firmer in your own mind. And that's really interesting to see. And at the same time, you're, you know, releasing this work out in the open, which I look at it and just go, oh my God, it's amazing. I could totally see why it takes so long to do. So from my perspective, it's been, just been an absolute pleasure to follow this small part of your goal journey with you. Any reflections or final thoughts?
I just want to make sure Duncan puts a line item in for collaboration with me.
And you have Danny and Duncan collaborating.
We have your inbox as well.
Oh my gosh. Well, I can say for people on boats, well, I was an editor on a thing many years ago, and these two camera ops both went on different yachts that were going around the world, and within I think a few weeks or the first week or something, their cameras had been both wiped out by big waves. So I'd say redundancy, have lots of redundancy.
Yeah. Friend actually said, I'm really paranoid about if I
don't have polar bears to deal with that.
The camera in water. And I was like, I'm gonna get you one of those like straps like kids have. It's just attached to you constantly, don't worry.
I mean, I think it's not going to be without hiccups, is it? But I think that's going to be the making of the documentary.
Yeah. The chaos, always the chaos.
I think going back to something Danny said at the beginning about how, like, she was shared the clip that you'd shared on LinkedIn and then had, like, a really positive reaction to it. I think it's very easy, isn't it, for all of us, especially when I think you're a creative, you forget that everybody's out there and they just want you to like achieve what you want to achieve and support you, right? And it's when we start sharing more and talking more about the things we want to do and are doing, we realize, yeah, actually people are in our corner, they've got our backs, and they just want us to do as well as we want to do, right?
It is, it's that cheerleading thing, isn't it? Yeah. The best advice someone ever gave me was, you go for a job interview, the people interviewing you really want you to do well in the interview. And if you've ever interviewed everyone, you realise how true that is. You don't get someone come through the door and expect them to fail. You kind of get them through the door and you're willing them to do well, aren't you? And that is quite a human thing.
Yeah.
That's a lovely thing to end on. Thank you all very much. Thank you for being part of my experiment.
Thanks for having us.
What you've just heard isn't a tidy before and after story. It's a snapshot of our goal sprinters inside the process, negotiating confidence, perfectionism, time pressure, visibility, identity, and of course, life happening alongside their goals. Psychologically, this is exactly what change looks like. Confidence doesn't rise in a straight line, but it often comes after action and not before it. So you might have noticed that for Bhavani and Danny, doing the thing made everything feel easier. And for Duncan, it prompted a rethink. These are normal and useful responses. In the next episode, you'll be hearing from Hannah, Darren and Jen, picking up the same thread. We'll have different goals, different contexts and no doubt different psychological tensions. If this episode has made you reflect on your own goals or confidence, I have something for you. Last week in my goal sprint, I delivered an imposter phenomenon workshop focused specifically on the role of comparison, how it shows up, why it paralyzes us, and what actually helps. That session is now available to download, along with a practical workbook. And this is the first time I've released my prompts alongside the sessions. You can get these in my online shop. You can find that at www.leelaange.co.uk/shop. This workshop is great if you're somebody who wants to learn a bit more about comparison and the role in imposter phenomenon. And if you're coaching and guiding or leading other people, feel free to use my prompts. I just ask that you credit me. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.